stop. Lex and Stacy's threesome.
Hey, it's Lex and Stacy with Threesome Podcast number 73. And Stacy, I know our last one was very political filled. It's been a couple weeks since we've had a chance to talk and get caught up. So for those of you that there wasn't enough of the other fine things that we address on this podcast, sorry, but it's kind of hard.
Fuck you!
It's kind of hard to turn away from Donald Trump when he's out there just tearing ass.
Ow.
Yeah.
Don't.
Metaphorically speaking.
You hope.
Yeah.
We've got a bleeder.
So, you know how you get feelings about some people and you just can't put your finger on it, but you're kind of like, I don't like that person. I really have no reason for it. It's probably not fair for me to say, well, finally I saw something that made me realize why I don't like Billy Joel.
His lips.
It's all kind. Well, I mean, there's just, he's not one of my favorites, but I recognize how talented the guy is. And yes, he is kind of douchey when it comes to marrying people half his age and stuff like that. But the, there's just always something that's bothered me. And now I know what it is. He left Woodstock back in the day because there were no bathrooms. You pussy.
Yeah.
You walked out on one of the greatest moments in music history, in life's history, really. A moment that will never be duplicated or happen again because you couldn't find a shit box.
And I hope that's what it is. I would hate to think he is such a sissy man that he couldn't pee outdoors.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Did you see who you were surrounded by?
They could have been covered in poo. It was mud. It was poo. Who knew?
It's like, it's not good enough for you, but it's okay for Bob Dylan.
So, I mean, was Billy Joel like actually set to play, or was he in the audience?
He was going to play.
Wow. Now, do you think like his career would have been different if he had?
No. No, obviously he found his mark and the way he makes music was going to get found inside pubs and bars and little smoky rooms and stuff like that. That's just who he is. Yeah.
Kind of like Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, or any douchebag like that, you know, that is...
Sundown is a great song. Come on.
It is a great song.
I said it. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, which, you know, totally negates, you know, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
That is Michigan's unofficial theme song. It's kind of tied between that and Fred Bear by Ted Nugent. So
Fred Bear. Ted Nugent. What a piece of work.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. I do a song of the day on my Facebook page, and it's so hard for me to even love Ted Nugent's music anymore because of his political views, but
I know.
But I can't help myself. I had to put Wang Dang Sweet Putang on my song of the day.
Nashville Pussy!
That's right. And now I'll never hear that song without picturing you going, Nashville Pussy!
That was one of those pivotal moments in my radio career. Yeah. And slow motion.
And Ted was always good for a remark like that before he busted into a song, especially on a live album. But it's just who Ted is. You know, Ted kind of grew into kind of a giant militia loving douchebag. You know, but I still love his music. In the end, he's just a dude who loves pussy and likes to shoot guns. That's not a bad thing. It's just
young pussy. Let's get it right.
Young pussy, yes.
Very young
pussy. Does he still like young pussy? I mean, what's young pussy to Ted Nugent now?
Well, half his age plus 7, so let's see. That would be like in her 40s.
Yeah. He's 70... Isn't he 70?
Oh, God, is he 70s?
I think he's like 71 or something like that, yeah.
He touched my boob.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. And then he killed it and stuffed it.
So is that the rule, half your age plus 7?
Yes. That's the maxim, I think.
Okay.
But I've heard so many people use it, so and it kind of works.
Let's see. All right, so I'm well within that. That's good.
Oh, I already did that math. Yeah. Like a year ago. Yeah. I was like, okay, Lex is good.
Yeah, I'm way safe. I'm safe by a good 6 or 7 years. It's good. So,
He's still married to Shemaine. Ted Lee is.
Shemaine, Shlemiel, Shmogenmaid. Yeah, he's been with the same chick like forever, but I still think he hits young pussy. I'm sorry.
He is 66 years old.
66, huh?
Yes.
So he can do a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, if you go with a half the age plus 7, yeah.
Yeah, but see, there was a time I remember because it was like one of the VH1 behind the music thing kind of, and it was like the children of rock stars.
Yeah,
and Ted Nugent's daughter was talking about like sitting out playing basketball like in the driveway as like a teen child would do, and her dad's date came out and played basketball with her because they were pretty much the same age.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. So that's not going to happen to me.
Hey, little girl, want to play yoga?
For one thing, Samantha wouldn't be cut dead playing basketball. It's just not who she is.
Good for her.
Yeah, you know, and she wouldn't be cut dead doing yoga. Horseback riding, maybe. Basketball, no. So, now there's still a 21-year difference between those two. So I'm good.
Yeah, that's not creepy.
Yeah, that's good. She actually could be her mother. She's old enough to actually be her mom. So,
be sure to point that out a lot. She'll like that.
Yeah.
You could have birthed her.
Oh, God. I hate that word. And so it's such the big thing right now, the natural birth in the house thing. I birthed her at home. Shut up. We all know
that's code for I couldn't leave the house. I was too big and it hurt too bad, so I just shit the baby out on the kitchen floor.
No, it's code for I snuck a bunch of painkillers and I did them anyway. And I didn't feel a fucking thing. So who cares where I had the baby? So I'm really a hypocrite, but all of you are going to think I had my kid at home and did everything natural and it was good. But believe me, when I tell you, I was shit-faced.
On heroin.
Yeah. Or whatever. Whatever they gave me. tell you this much. When they
I was drinking the anesthetic straight out of the bag.
Whatever it was so powerful that when they slapped my kids behind, she didn't cry either.
That's because she was dead, Lex.
Whatever.
Dead babies are funny.
She may be dead. She may be dead, but she's not a pussy.
Like Billy Joel.
Yeah.
That baby would have stayed at Woodstock.
That's right.
Because it was dead and couldn't move.
So let's talk about babies.
Dead ones or alive ones?
The alive ones, the ones, okay. The ones who are still trying to make money off of daddy or granddaddy, namely the siblings and children of Jimi Hendrix.
Oh.
They are suing anybody that will listen about his merchandise, his imaging, all that stuff. They're suing somebody else. Apparently, this has been in contention since 2009. Janie Hendrix, Jimi's adopted sister and the operator of the Rockers estate, has been locked in a copyright infringement fight with Jimi's younger brother, Leon, over Hendrix licensing. His Nevada-based company that printed shirts and other merchandise bearing the late brother's image and signature without permission for years is now in question, and they're all in a big legal fight over it that's going into the millions. Janie and Leon Hendrix have been at odds since 2002 when their father, Al Hendrix, passed away and left Jimi Hendrix's $80 million estate under the sole control of Janie Hendrix, who is the adopted sister.
Oops.
Leon Hendrix contested Al Hendrix's will in 2004 with the Washington State Supreme Court, ultimately upholding the will in 2007, which complicated matters. So, basically, the suit right now is worth between the two of them $1.7 million is what she's suing the brother for.
Wow. I hate when families fight. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Especially when it ends up in court like that. Because, you know, those people never like each other again. And not that I assume they were did beforehand, but, you know, you're pretty sure there's no chance of ever having a Thanksgiving dinner with family like that again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me sad.
Now, there is some stuff coming out that's part of this lawsuit that will benefit us, the consumer. Legacy Recordings will next release Hendrix's Freedom Atlanta Pop Festival August 28th. It's a 2-CD set. It documents the guitar god's historic July 4th, 1970 performance at the famed Atlanta Festival. The live album will be followed September 4th. This is where this gets good, by the Showtime documentary. And I heard this is really good. Jimi Hendrix Electric Church, which will be coming out.
Cool.
It's supposed to be pretty awesome. I love me some Hendrix. I just think the guy was absolutely amazing. And
he had a giant penis.
And, yeah, I don't care about that.
I do.
Yeah, and you should.
Yes.
You know. I mean,
it's all about the big black cock.
Is it? What if he?
I don't know.
What if he just had a big black cock and couldn't play? What if he's like?
He would still have a big black cock.
Yeah, would that
he'll matter? Always have would the that, big black cock.
Would that matter if he wasn't like the fucking super cool badass Jimi Hendrix? If he was just like, oh, Daisy.
You hope at some point someone in this in that version of Jimi Hendrix tells him just to shut up and just let other people talk about his penis, and he'll get all the poon he needs. if he just doesn't say a word and doesn't open his mouth.
I mean, does it make a difference for you if he's like standing over you and he's like, yeah, you take it, bitch. Or if he's...
I think I would prefer voice number one.
Okay, I'm just asking. Yeah.
Or Mr. Sulu.
Stacy. Lift up your shirt. I'm going to let it come all over your chest.
And it's gross.
Sulu. I'd like to see you come all over her chest. Yes, Captain.
That's my favorite part. You get to say that all the time. Yes, Captain.
Captain, it's illogical as you being part, not part of the sexual experience between the two of them, that you would want anything to happen whatsoever. Why is this? It's not logical. Because, Spock, watching an Asian guy and a white bread chick from Michigan get it on, and her taking cum all over her chest.
Space cum.
Is epic. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Sulu? Yes,
fire.
Captain.
I've missed that.
Unfortunately, Captain. Her bare white breasts don't do anything to excite me whatsoever. I hate to tell you, but your pilot's gay.
Oh, my.
It's okay, Mr. Sulu. I've known this for quite some time.
Because you've come on my chest, too.
Uhura told me that you had no interest in her whatsoever.
So were you hot for her when you were youngish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did some total jerk time to Uhura. Especially there was like this one episode where she was like all lovey-dovey, you know, because she sniffed some flower or something. And she was just like rubbing her black breast all over everybody. I was just like, it's like, oh, God. I got something to think about tonight. Yeah, she was. Uhura was hot. The great Michelle Nichols. Or as
a very young child, I liked Chekhov. I don't know why.
Or as we called her, you know, because of our sophomoric behavior, Michelle Nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, one of those guys, you said nipples. And of course, you know, one of the adults went, what are you guys, 9? And we went, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How'd you know, Dad?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born in 58. Yeah, 9.
Did you watch Batman then at age, too?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Now, never, was it...
Never
mind. Was it funny, or was it just exciting because it was Batman? Like, were you aware of the campiness then?
I was aware of the campiness, like, during the fights and stuff. It almost was an annoyance to me that they made fun of the fight scenes like that. You know, like the Biff and the Baff and all that stuff.
Right.
But as I got older, I totally got it.
And the Batman movie, did you see that?
The one with Burt Ward and...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Where he's got the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nuns and, like, babies and everything running.
Yeah, it was just more of the same. Where it got weird for me, because that's the Batman I grew up with, is, you know, when they came with the Michael Keaton serious shit, you know?
I fell asleep to the George Clooney, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chris O'Donnell one.
Yeah.
I don't remember whichever Batman that was.
Yeah, it's the one.
It was with the Clooney nipples.
I think it was the second one. And it's one that, like, nobody talked about. It just kind of came and went.
Was Clooney number 2? Arthur Val Kilmer was Batman number... I It's been so long.
Yeah, both of those were basically put aside and forgotten about. All three of those, really, until they came out with the one that had what's-his-face?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Yeah,
those were great.
Those are great. Those just completely supersede the other ones like no other.
Well, I think like the Jack Nicholson Joker, kind of, when you've got like the TV show Batman from the 60s with uber camp, now, unfortunately, or maybe not unfortunately, the Keaton Batman, there's a campiness to it as well now.
Yeah, I mean, it that kind of served as a buffer between what's now and the TV show. It had a little bit of both in it. You know, because it had the trumped up car, you know, with the big wheels and the badassiness look to it and everything, and the toys got more intricate and the plot got a little more serious, and you know, there was no
Jerry Hall's face got burned.
Yeah, there was no doofusy, you know, like Captain O'Hara or Commissioner Gordon or anything like that. It got a little more serious, but. You know, now it's all serious business.
Yes. Batman's very serious.
And now to the point where it's going to be Batman versus Superman, which is just fucking ridiculous.
I know that annoys you.
Oh, God, does it.
Do you realize we have been talking about that now, I think, for about a year? I think that was one of our first discussions on this podcast.
Yeah, it probably was. And I still feel the same about it. It's stupid.
On the upside, you'll get to see some fantastic images of a crumbling and decaying Detroit. So enjoy that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it saves money to just go somewhere where it's fucked up already. You don't have to do it for them. No offense.
No, and you know, when Jennifer Granholm was governor of Michigan, she did all these deals and stuff where Michigan had some of the best tax breaks in the country for movies, for movie studios and everything. And I believe there was even going to be, maybe Universal was going to build a studio in Pontiac, Michigan, and like an old warehouse and stuff.
Yeah, it's just called the Silver Dome.
I know, isn't that sad? I saw Pink Floyd and Paul McCartney there.
It's not sad. It's a piece of shit.
Well, it is now.
Is it even still up?
It is.
Wow.
The roof isn't. It's collapsed.
Yeah.
You want to hear the interesting story about that? Because now our governor is Rick Snyder, and he's kind of had some of these, he's had some controversy, because when a town or city, for instance, like Flint, is way underwater and, you know, is their budget, they're just hemorrhaging and everything, he supersedes the elected officials that, you know, the citizens have put into place, and he installs an emergency manager. And this person, puts the city back into financial shape and everything, and then they're removed. This happened in Pontiac. Rick Snyder put this guy in place to be Pontiac's emergency manager. During his time there, which I believe was just like maybe a few months, I'm not sure, the city of Pontiac had decided not to put the Silver Dome up for sale because they thought at some point they could get maybe a slightly better price. You know, they weren't looking, but I mean, it's a huge freaking building that could be used for many other things.
Right.
This guy said, no, you're going to sell it now. He put it up for auction. The Silver Dome sold for $500,000.
Wow.
To a company that's like possibly going to be turning it into a casino or something. When this man was removed from being Pontiac's emergency manager, guess what job he went back to?
Being a casino?
Yeah, working for the company that bought the Silver Dome for $500,000.
Yes.
So.
And if you don't think the governor was in on that, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? If they do turn it into a casino and it does start to create jobs and bring people to the town and become a really cool thing, then you may excuse such actions.
Perhaps. You're right. You know, unfortunately, I think at this point, anytime something like that happens, the taxpayer is paying for it.
Yeah, hopefully it becomes a very fruitful situation, you know, and creates jobs and all that stuff. If it does, then I'm okay with somebody having the foresight to do that. If nothing ever materializes from it, and it's just somebody getting an incredibly expensive piece of real estate for nothing, then somebody's head needs to roll.
Yes.
And that's the kind of laws that need to be put in by governors.
Fuck yeah!
And if you are going to give somebody a temporary position like that and it goes away, there needs to be non-competes and all kinds of things signed that make sure that that person does not gain from any deals like that that are made.
You mean like Dick Cheney and Halliburton?
That's right.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is tantamount to treason.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
We got involved in a war, so all those guys could make tremendous bank for their companies and have lifetime seats on boards and stock options and everything else, and we sent how many people to their deaths?
Thousands.
Mm-hmm. Was it more than Vietnam? It was, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I could not answer that one way or the other. Yeah.
The toll for Vietnam was 58,000 when it was all said and done.
Oh, man.
And I think between Iraq and Afghanistan, we're in six figures somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. And the fact that nobody has the clout, the balls, the whatever it would take to bring something like that to justice.
Well, no, you can't do that to him because then everybody else who has their fingers in similar honeypots, you know, are now all up for possible trouble.
I know.
Legal issues.
I know, but it's...
And they all look out for themselves once they reach that level.
I know, but there it is in plain view in front of us, and some people, just because of their political affiliation, don't want to look at it for what it is. You know, they truly want to believe there were weapons of mass destruction and their son got sent there with good intentions, you know, to protect America from the terrorists that weren't there.
Yes. And managed to destabilize the region in the process, too.
Well, we destabilized the region, we gave Iran power, and we had our hand on Afghanistan's throat and the Taliban's throat and Al-Qaeda's throat, and we let it off to go make some money.
Yep.
I mean,
we aren't the fantastic, you know, when for me, who was born in the 70s, you know, for my, I look back at like the 60s and 50s, obviously I don't know them, but my images from TV and everything, all these really happy, patriotic, God bless America kind of stuff. And we are not that anymore. Considered from the rest of the world, we're just pretty much hated by everybody. No,
we're fucking scumbags, and we can't,
yes,
and we can't even look ourselves in the mirror when everybody knows it's true that everything that exists right now was because of somebody's greed and personal gain, not because it was in the country's best interest to be there.
Right.
It's a fact. It's true. It's non-negotiable.
Yep.
and the only thing that people can't prove is where it originated and where it started. But it's pretty easy to trace it back.
Right.
Michael Moore did a pretty good job.
Was he? Was that Fahrenheit 9/11?
Yeah.
Okay. There's so many. There's like Bowling for Columbine, yeah, which I realize wouldn't have been that one. But
he went even farther back than most people to find an origination that goes back almost to the Vietnam War.
Oh.
The relationship between the Bushes and the Bin Ladens goes back to the Vietnam War or just post-Vietnam War as far as doing oil business in the Middle East.
Now, you remember, was it the day of or the day after 9/11? Like, basically, the one plane that was allowed to leave New York was that private jet that had parts of the Bin Laden family on him.
It was the only plane in the air in the Western Hemisphere, for the most part, that day.
And they let them go. Not that I think that, I don't think they had anything to do with it, but, you know.
No, they...
There was a bunch of people who didn't get that option to get whisked away to safety, you know?
Yeah, they basically would have been killed just for having that name, for the most part. But, yeah, they were, but when you go back and look at some of the stuff that he found, like this guy James Bath, who was a kind of an accounting person, a numbers person, that was actually in W's unit with him when he was in the military. And this guy ended up being like a financial person with the Bushes and Bin Ladens and all their oil dealings. And then when you go back and look at George Bush's service record, this is according to the documentary, James Bath's name was scratched out in all these records. And he finally found one where it wasn't.
And, why?
And did the... Well, because he's the smoking gun of the Bushes having a relationship with Bin Ladens. It goes back 20 years before 9/11.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And really, there's nothing substantive there other than the relationship itself. You know, that like, you know, there is suspicion that it was there all along and it's been going on and stuff. It's just, they just don't know what.
Right.
But it all circumvented back together and everything with all the dealings in the Iraq War with all the companies, securities companies, food contractors, all that stuff. You know, all those names started surfacing again.
You know, right.
The same names that had a financial stake in it. And, you know, at that point, you're talking about something that's close to 25, 30 years old. You know, it's fucked up.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I give Jeb a little bit of a pass, because I think he realized... at the time where he was asked to be the person to run for president for the Bushes, that there was just too big of a cost to be involved at that point,
right?
As far as his integrity goes, I'm going to give him credit, whether it's due or not, that he went,
I'm going to run for Florida governor.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just do my own thing over here and stay away from Dad.
Yes.
You know.
Can you imagine how intense those family dinners were? Dad comes home from the CIA.
I mean, just the fucking shit they all know. My God.
Right.
You know? And I know Michael Moore is put out there as kind of a quack and somebody who's a little overboard and wanting to expose certain things, you know, as far as especially the right goes. But, you know, it's like, boy, there sure was a lot of documentation. And he sure was able to get his hands on a lot of information and documentation and other documentaries he did that had nothing to do with politics, you know, namely Roger and Me and things like that, which, you know, that whole documentary was for the little guy.
Yes. I have a cousin was in that movie. They actually went to school with Michael Moore.
Yeah.
So yeah. There.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's not Michael Moore, you know, kind of got, you know, thrown under the bus, you know, especially during the Obama elections and Clinton elections and stuff like that as a leftist sympathizer. But, you know, he's done a lot of things that have no politics drive to it whatsoever. Right. It just so happens the two that he does, you know, Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine are very... very sensitive subjects when it comes to guns and politics. But he's also done other stuff that didn't go down those roads, where he where he uncovered some pretty nefarious, horrible things. You know, the Roger and Me documentary, you know, about General Motors is, you know, just a piece of art. An amazing documentary.
It's depressing. Like, for instance, the Auto World is talked about in there. I remember when Auto World opened and my parents took my brother and I, we were little kids, you know, and it was like, well, this is fun. We're inside a big glass dome and there's a Ferris wheel. Yeah. And we get to learn about cars. And then it closed. Uh-huh. You know, it was like they had put so many hopes and dreams into this stupid park.
Yeah.
And it just failed miserably.
Yeah. And it was the concept was very cool and probably pulled off properly would still be there, but yeah, just, you know, the whole thing's just so seedy and terrible, and, you know, can't get pissed at him for trying to uncover some of it.
That was his hometown. I mean, he grew up in Davison, but, you know, I mean, he's a homer. It wasn't like he just went out and said, I'm going to find something that will be interesting and I'll piss some people off. No, he was deeply passionate about that. That was his home.
Yeah, he's deeply passionate about all this stuff is the problem. Right. And that's why he kind of gets run over. It is, you know, he's accused of being too emotional about it and not business-like enough that he... you know, takes a few personal shots that gives his documentaries less credibility, which, you know, I don't solely disagree with, but still, he uncovers a lot of fact and documentation. It's hard to look the other way on.
Right. So. He has some good research people.
He does. So, anyway, that wraps up another podcast. Once again, all over the place, celebrities and politics and just generally making fun of people for no reason whatsoever.
Make the one sound Jimi Hendrix's not so bright big penis brother. Now do Jimmy.
Yeah, you take my cum all over your chest, bitch.
Yes, Jimmy.
Shut up.
Thwap, thwap.
Yeah.
The meaty slap of his large, giant cock against my face.
Yeah. Turn your head. Turn it the other way, bitch.
Oh. Oh.
Here, wait a minute. I just thought of a song. Purple veins all in your face.
Foxy. Which, whenever I hear Foxy, I think of Garth doing his little ears.
I know.
Do you realize there are children today who have never seen Wayne's World?
I know, it's so sad.
And that breaks my heart.
I know. Yeah. I still to this day think Rob Lowe should have gotten an Oscar for his performance in Wayne's World.
When he gets out of the car and he's all stiff because he just had his anus probed.
Oh, no. That's not near as good as Wanya, 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 Pepsi.
I know. It's just, we will not bow to, you know, pressure, sponsor pressure. He reaches in, takes a big Dorito.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I found this planning book. Pick up small cable access show and exploit it. I'd sure hate to be those guys.
And then, of course, you know, the Bohemian Rhapsody scene.
Yeah.
See, that's another reason, even like adults today, you hear that song in your car, there are people of a certain age that will still headbang.
Uh-huh.
You just can't not do it.
No, it's a must.
Yes.
But that wraps up another podcast, Stacy, number 73, which makes number 74 next year.
Yay!
It's our little running joke now. And
we're counting one ahead for you, folks.
So if you've downloaded number 75, you've gotten somebody else's podcast is what you've done.
You're fucked.
Yeah. You're probably listening to the Foursome podcast. Yeah. So you just typed in the wrong number or something.
Yeah.
And there you go. Where can we find all about us, Stacy?
At threesomepodcast.com, Lex. That's the number 3, not spelling out 3.
That's right. And we have a Facebook page, which is what?
It's at Facebook, but you can find the link at threesomepodcast.com.
All right. Or you can go to Facebook/threesomepodcast.
Is it? I can never remember if it's like official or I don't remember what I put.
It's not official to say the least.
Okay.
All right. So we'll see you next time. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you, Lex. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Bye.
Bye.